This past Sunday morning, we talked about not missing Christ this Christmas, and I appreciate you on this Christmas Eve evening about 6 o'clock, how precious of time this is, giving this to the Lord in a time of just worship and also a time of hearing his word preached. Matthew chapter number 1, we're going to focus on a little bit of what the angel's announcement to Joseph was, and a certain phrase that's found in there. And I've been meditating on this phrase for a little bit of time, actually quite a number of days, and what it means to me and what I think it can mean to us. There's a lot of things it can mean when the Bible uses the phrase, his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So as we consider what it means that God is with us, and God with us, that can mean so many different things, and you can apply it to so many different areas of our lives. And there's three things tonight I'd like to look at. But let's go ahead and start off in Matthew chapter number 1. Let's start in verse number 20. The Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So we know the angel, Joseph, has found out that Mary is with child before he knew exactly what was going on. God sends the angel what was happening and tells her that it was conceived as of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, wonderful verse, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." This is the reason why Christ came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the Bible says he shall save his people from their sins. That's the whole purpose of the Christmas story. We looked in Luke chapter number 1, how the day spring came by the tender mercy of God to bring light unto those that sit in darkness and on the shadow of death. And it's important to understand the scriptures that the reason why Jesus came wasn't so we could celebrate during the month of December anything else besides the understanding that we needed to be saved from our sins. Verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying." Verse 22 gives us understanding this was planned out a long time ago. These things happened specifically these ways for these purposes because of the fact it's fulfilling the scriptures and the prophecies has already been given. Verse 23, he opens up to a little bit more understanding. He is writing something that is written similar in Isaiah. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." So he goes and listens to the angel of the Lord. He responds to the message. He gets up out of sleep, and he immediately, seems as if he immediately goes and obeys. And that's the way that we should obey the Lord always, is doing it when he tells us to do something, doing it immediately, and also doing it with a good spirit. Verse 25, "And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that amongst this busy time of year, that we take these few moments and we consider what it means about God with us. And Lord, that you calm our hearts from all the different exciting things that may be happening, have already happened today or the last few days, or things that are coming up, and that we focus a little while. And Lord, that you help each of us to focus a little while what it means to have God with us. And Lord, as you speak to our hearts, help us to respond in ways that would be pleasing to you. If you convict our hearts about needs, things that we need to change, help us be like Joseph and obey. If there are thoughts that we need to be encouraged with, help us not to be afraid of things, but instead let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God comfort us. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight that does not know what it means to be a Christian, or they've never personally accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching of your Word and the convicting of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I pray for this church family. Lord, my family, I know I truly love them. And Lord, I pray that you use them this next couple days to be a light to the rest of the world and also a blessing to their families. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I begin thinking, Emmanuel, you go through and you read there and you say, well, they say he was going to be called Jesus, and they said he was going to be called Emmanuel. And we've heard him called Jesus time and time again. We've heard him called Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is the name, Christ is the title, but you don't hear him called Emmanuel but a few times in the Bible. And it's because the interpretation of God is with us. The reason why Jesus was able to live that perfect life is because he was God. We couldn't call him, he couldn't call him our Savior, the person who's going to save the world, unless he was Emmanuel. The only way that he could be the Savior of the world is if he was Emmanuel, God with us. So these three different thoughts here. On Sunday afternoon, I had mentioned to you that the Hicks family was over at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and they were having a concert there, and the guy got up there, and he said he wanted to preach about God with us. And I'm thinking, oh, great. My wife's going to think I'm going to copy this guy's sermon, and that I don't have any original thoughts. And I was thankful that even though it was a wonderful sermon about not feeling guilty of sin because of the fact that Jesus is with us, because God is with us, and because he has canceled the power of sin, you know, through salvation, that God was with us, but it had nothing to do with my main points. His might have been better than mine, but mine was something that I at least thought, great, my wife's going to at least know I wrote my own sermon tonight. So. Sometimes she writes mine for me, but I didn't ask her this time. That was a joke. See, when other preachers say that, they think it's funny. When I say it, some of you are thinking, I bet you that's true. But it's not. It's not. She may be the best preacher in the family, but nobody else is going to hear her but our own family. So now my wife, she's a blessing to me and an encouragement. So three things tonight. The first thing, the word Emmanuel reminds me that God loves me. The word Emmanuel reminds me that God loves me. You say, what do you mean? Well, you think about it, God with us, you're usually, if you have a choice, you're going to be around the people you want to be. You're going to be around the people that you love. I've never met someone that was falling in love that did not want to spend time with someone else. I mean, it's just if there's a guy and there's a girl, especially if you, I know some of you guys go to college, and you know, there's a spark, there's new interest, they're usually always together. I remember when my wife and I were at school together, we were together as much as we could be. And we were, any other open time that was there, that's what we wanted to spend with one another, is because we loved one another. We were learning that we loved one another. And when it says here that God with us, why in the world would God come to this world? It's because he loves us. We had a need. Yes, we had a need. We have lots of needs in the world, you know, but he came because of this great need we had, and it says God with us. So it reminds me, that word Emmanuel reminds me that God loves me. Probably the most famous verse in all the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you love someone, you're going to want to be with them. Doesn't mean that you're always going to be with them. I know there's sometimes people who are serving in the military and they wish they could be with their father or their mother or their husband or their wife. It's a long distance that they're away, and you say, well, I wish I could be there with them. And I say, God, he is with us, and we're thankful for that. And maybe that, I remember my wife and I, there was a time when we lived a little ways away from each other. She had went back to college, and I was, you know, working and different things like that, and we were away. And I wanted to be with her. If I really, truly love someone, I'm going to want to spend time. Usually you don't have to coax you to spend time with someone that you love. You don't have to try to convince somebody, hey, why don't you come spend some time with me? Now, if you don't like them, if you particularly don't care for them, yeah, you might need some coaxing. But if you truly love somebody, you know what's going to happen? You're not going to have a problem wanting to spend some time with them. You're going to be thinking about them. You're going to want to be with them. And that's what God loved us. Emmanuel, in that words, those three words, God with us, it reminds me of the fact that God loves me. And it's not just talk. There's a lot of love out there that's cheap talk. There's a lot of people out there that says, oh, I love you. And then their actions are completely opposite. If you really truly love someone, you're going to want to spend time with them. You're going to want to treat them good. The Bible even goes as far as saying, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He says, don't just say that you love somebody. There's nothing wrong with expressing that, but it's more important that you do it with your actions. And this is a good test. You know, sometimes when you're talking to a young person and they're worried about, you know, I think I love this person, but maybe the other person doesn't treat them that well, and you're like, you don't want to mess with that person. They don't treat you well. Oh, but he tells me he loves me. She tells me she loves me. But if it's not backed up in their actions, that's a very dangerous road to go down. But God showed his love. God proved his love. God demonstrated his love when it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the purpose of the story is that, yes, he loves us, that he gave his only begotten son. And he says, look, I don't want you to think that this is cheap talk, that, you know what, that, yeah, I'm going to say that I love you, but I'm not going to demonstrate it. He proved that. He showed that when he came to this world and says, Christ died for us. So it wasn't just a bunch of words. It was an action that he commended, he proved, he showed. And tonight, if you don't know God's love, and if you've never accepted what Jesus Christ did on the cross as penalty for your, as a payment for your sin, and God loved you so much that he came to this world to die for your sins. And he's giving you an opportunity in a way to be able to go to heaven by turning to him and putting your faith and trust in him, seeing yourself as a sinner in need of God and crying out to him and saying, Lord, I put my faith and trust in you. I see that I'm a sinner. I see that I'm headed to a horrible place called hell. And Lord, I don't want to trust in anything else. I want to turn to you. That's he proved his love. He demonstrated his love. Those verses earlier that we talked about, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high have visited us. It's because of God's mercy and love for us, he came to this world. That word Emmanuel helps me remember that. I know I have a God that loves me because he's with me. Another verse, you say, well, of course God loves you. You know, you're something special. You're something fantastic. That's not true at all. In the eyes of God, that's surrounded by beauty and perfect, think about why he chose Israel. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. He says, I didn't choose you because of the fact that you are the biggest nation, you are the most profitable nation, you were the best nation. He says, I chose you, he says, for you were the fewest of all people. He says, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, redeemed you out of the house of bondmen for the hand of Pharaoh of Egypt. So what the scripture is saying there, he says, he's telling the nation of Israel while he's giving the law and while he's saying you should love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, he's saying, hey, look, I didn't choose you because you were the biggest and you were the best and you were the brightest. He said, I called Abraham out of that nation because I loved him. And we got to remember that. That's God's thought. That's what God's reason and God's purpose, why he came to this world, for God so loved the world. And the word Emmanuel means God with us, because God loves us. Second thing, I think when I think about that word Emmanuel, it reminds me I don't have to be afraid. It reminds me I don't have to be afraid. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, if you go through this story in Matthew chapter number 1, and you look what the angel says to Joseph, he says to him that he doesn't have to be afraid. Look what it says in verse number 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make any public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying to Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. And he said, well, Pastor, that's not the first time we hear that in a Christmas story. It's not. Not only does he say, fear not to Joseph, he says, fear not to Zacharias when being revealed about John the Baptist being born. He also says, fear not to Mary when she is being told that she was going to be the one to have the children, to have Jesus as a child. But even probably the most well-known example is when that angel appeared before the shepherds, what did he say? What did the angel say? He says, fear not. See, what fear does, it robs us of the things we need. When fear begins, our faith stops. When faith begins, our fear should subside. Now, don't get me wrong. We are going to be fearful of certain things, but when we become more faith-filled than fear-filled, we will continue on doing what God desires for us to do. That spirit does not come from the Lord. Fear is uprooted in our flesh. In this story, it said over and over, fear not. Now, I know what you're thinking. The Bible says to fear God, and that is true. But that's just another way of saying don't fear anything but God. Because when you fear the Lord, there has no reason to fear anything or anyone else. The fear of God is when we stand in his amazement, and it will conquer any other fear. And you think about it. I was doing a little studying, and I don't want to make the message super long tonight, but I was thinking about there's some crazy phobias out there today. If you go and you think about all the different phobias, and I know there are some things that we need to respect, but there are some crazy things out there that people are afraid of today. And it amazes me how the devil and how sin has wreaked havoc on the feelings of the people of this world today. You see it everywhere. You're going to be tempted to fear, and some of the crazy phobias, some people are afraid of coming to a church service. that's a real thing. You know, they're afraid of coming to church. So, well, that doesn't seem strange. Well, it, you know, some people are afraid of Santa Claus. Be honest with you, I'm a little afraid of them. they're afraid of standing underneath the mistletoe. I was reading different underneath the mistletoe. There's a bunch of different Christmas traditions that people are fearful of. And I was thinking, man, this world is filled with fear. But when you consider all the different phobias of the world, you compare them to God, we have nothing to be afraid of. See, God did not intend his creation to live in this fearful way. Certainly does not intend for his children to live that way. If you think of some of those fears that are ridiculous and you compare those to God, all those fears are ridiculous. You know, when you begin to think about, okay, well, I'm fearful of this, I'm fearful of that, you serve a God that can do all things. And when you fear the Lord and you stand in amazement of what he can do and how he can do all things and do everything, all those things that we are fearful of, maybe we're fearful to go talk to somebody tomorrow about what Jesus Christ did on the cross or that Jesus came to the world. Maybe sometimes we're fearful to do what's right. But when you consider that we serve a God that's amazing and that can do all things, those fears can subside. So today, when I think about the word Emmanuel, I think of, first and foremost, it reminds me that God loves me. But secondly, I think of the fact that I do not have to be afraid. There is no one or no thing that should be feared when we have our eyes on the Lord and how great our God is. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should go out and do foolish things and stupid things like go up on the top of the roof and say, I'm not afraid of jumping off because God's with me. Now, that's not what we're talking about. God gives us common sense too. But I'm talking about the fears that the devil and sin will prevent in our lives to try to stop us from doing what is right and stop us from serving the Lord. Because compared to God, there is nothing that we cannot do. I'm reminded over and over when I see young people sometimes that are fearful maybe to go into a Sunday school class for the first time or to go into a nursery for the first time or maybe even to ride a roller coaster for the first time. You know how much confidence they have because mom or dad's there? You know, I'll do it if you do it. And you're saying, no, just go, go. No, no. If you come in with me, it'll be okay. And then, you know, after they do it once or twice, then they don't need you anymore. They don't want you anymore. Hey, go away, mom. You're embarrassing me in the class. Or dad, I don't need you in this roller coaster anymore. Maybe you should sit off. But it's amazing how much confidence we have when the person that we're with, we can trust. I used to remember my dad, and I love my dad. I'm going to see him in a couple days. He's had some strokes now, and he can't move very well now like he used to. He used to carry a gun. He doesn't carry it as much anymore, but he carried a gun. He was a police officer, and I didn't think anybody could beat my dad. You know, as a 6 or 7 or 8-year-old boy, a couple times I got to ride in the patrol cars. A couple times they took off with those sirens going off. And you know what? I didn't care. I was probably in a semi-dangerous situation. My dad was there, and my dad carried a gun, and my dad was the biggest and strongest guy in all the world. I was the kid that thought, my dad can beat up your dad, and if my dad can't beat up your dad, my dad can shoot your dad. So, I mean, my dad was invincible because my dad was with me. Guess what? I had confidence. My dad was with me. Because my dad was with me, I didn't have to be afraid. And when I think about these words, Emmanuel, God with us, it reminds me first and foremost that he loves me, but I don't have to be fearful. The beautiful thing is, and I think this is the thing that we need to learn, is that I can trust the Lord to do the right thing. I can leave all the consequences with him. If I remember God is with me, God with us, and he's promised us he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, I remember that he loves me and that I don't have to be afraid because I can do everything I'm supposed to and leave everything else to the Lord. I can leave all the consequences with him. I can leave all the things in his court because I know he's always going to do what was right. Now, if it was myself and my dad that was getting ready to get into a fight with somebody, and obviously we're not going to, you know, I wouldn't count on my dad to do much. He couldn't do much. I don't have that confidence anymore because of the strength is gone. But you know what? My Lord's strength's never going to go away. He is faithful and he's just, and I can trust in him for those things. I still love my dad. I still have great confidence in him, especially when he's still holding the gun. But it's the same thing. I do not have to be afraid. And because I don't have to be afraid, I also can be content. The word Emmanuel reminds me that God loves me. The word Emmanuel reminds me that I can be content. You go back to this story and you consider all these things here. Joseph had to learn something. You know what? I can be content with what God's told me. I don't have to go looking for anything else. I don't have to go look for a new wife. I don't have to put her away privily. God's told me these things. You got it. He even says in verse 25, and he knew her not until she had been brought forth her firstborn son. I can be content with where God has put me because God is with me. I even think about the stories when it comes to Mary. Mary, be, and we talked about this Sunday night, be unto me according to thy word. And she said, you know, how is this supposed to be? And when she's talking about having a child without knowing a man, and the angel reminds her that God can do anything. And she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What she was saying is, God, I'm content with what you're saying because you're with me. I know this is of you. And the same thing as you see Bible character after Bible character, they respond in obedience because they're content. And that word, God with us, has that connection of being contented. The amazing thing is about many times about Christmas time, there's not a lot of contentment going around. You say, yeah, I know those kids, they're not happy and they're not thankful for anything. I'm not even worried as much about the kids. They're still figuring things out. Sometimes us as parents, we're like, man, I want to get this for my kid, but I can't afford it. I wish I could go do this, or I wish I could go do that, or I wish it. There isn't a lot of contentment out there. If we remember God is with us and that God loves us and we don't have to be afraid of anything, we can be content with the circumstances God's given us. Think about what the Bible says in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a great verse. Fantastic verse. He says, be content with such things that you have because God's there. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. And you can be content with all these things because of that. Then he goes on to say, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I was thinking and studying, considering that phrase, fear not. And it came to my mind the first time, to my knowledge, it was used in the Bible. God said to Abraham something in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Abraham has just delivered Lot and his family from being taken in slavery by some different kings. And he brings them back. I'm sure he tries to convince Lot to stay, but Lot still goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah. He has just visited with Melchizedek. He has just visited with the king of Sodom. And he's there, and I'm thinking he's watching as Lot and his family is walking away, thinking, Lord, you promised me a child. I've served you faithfully, and I've done all these things, and I still don't have a child. And he's considering in his mind, and that's when God comes to him in Genesis 15, 1, and says, after these things, the word Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not. He says, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That's become one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because God comes to Abram himself and says, look, I am thy shield. Talking about I'm your protector. You don't have to worry about anything. And then he says, thy exceeding great reward. He says, I'm the reward here. Yes, you're going to have a son. Yes, you're going to have, but the relationship you have with God, that is the reward. That if we can learn and understand that he is enough, that he is with us, and that we are made to serve him, and we are made to fellowship with him, and our greatest reward is to know him better and grow closer to him. He is our exceeding great reward. He comes to Abram and says to him, hey, look, I see Sodom leaving, and they're leaving with all the stuff that you recovered. I see Lot and his family leaving, and he has his children, and they didn't learn anything, because later on, the cities are destroyed, and some of their family members are even still inside. They don't learn anything, but he says, don't worry about the world. Don't worry about what everybody else says. Remember this, I am thy shield. And then he says, I am thy exceeding great reward. I'm not just your reward. I'm your exceeding great reward. To me, I think that's a wonderful thought. It's found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. The first time you hear the word fear not, it's saying, hey, look, don't be afraid of all that other things. And I'm sure as those people were leaving, and if you're familiar with the story, the people of Sodom are probably laughing, thinking, look, he didn't take anything. He did risk his life and never asked for a thing. And maybe even consider Lot and his family laughing, thinking, oh, crazy Uncle Abraham over there still serving his God, still doesn't have his kid, doesn't, you know, he keeps on talking about being a father of this great nation. situation, and he's in his 90s. He doesn't even have a kid, and they're laughing and they're mocking. And God's coming and says, look, fear not. He's not afraid of someone attacking him. He's not afraid of someone killing him. He's saying, don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of what the rest of the world says you can't have and what you can't have. He says, I'm the one that's going to give you exactly what you need. I'm going to be the one that's going to provide the most important thing in your life. I am like exceeding great reward. So when we come to this thought of Emmanuel, God with us, it reminds me that he loves me. It reminds me that I don't have to be afraid. But he reminds me that I can be content. If there's something great underneath the tree tomorrow, or there isn't anything underneath the tree, God is still that great exceeding reward. If it's not exactly the way we would like it to be, I'm remembering that God is with us and that he is the most important thing in my life. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, some familiar verses, trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If we learn to trust in the Lord of all our heart, the Bible says, and not lean into our own understandings, if we'll acknowledge him in all our ways, he's going to lead you and he's going to direct you. So as we come here on Christmas Eve, and a wonderful time of year, a wonderful service, our hearts are filled with anticipation, or our hearts are filled with, man, I want to see God work, I want to see God bless, or our hearts are filled with seeing family or receiving things, don't forget, God's with you. Don't miss that. God with us. Now, when you think about God being with us, does that mean that we should live a holy life because we're living in front of God? We should always live consciously before God. Does that mean I should be careful where I go because God, definitely all those things. But tonight, remember these three things and be encouraged for the fact that you know that God loves you because he's with you. Because remember, if you love somebody, you're going to want to be with them. Secondly, remember that the word Emmanuel reminds us that we do not have to be afraid. We don't have anything to be fearful if we know the Lord. And thirdly, the word Emmanuel reminds us that I can be content. No matter what the circumstance is, I'm able to be content. And you go back and you look at the circumstance of Joseph, it was not ideal. Circumstance of Mary, it was not ideal. Circumstances of the wise men, circumstances of Zacharias and Elizabeth, all those people that were obedient and did things in their circumstances were not the greatest. But what do you see him doing? Following the Lord and being content. Why is that? Because God was with him. Now, before we close, I know we have a number of people visiting with us tonight. I want to just leave you with a couple of thoughts. God loves you. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. And the Bible tells us because of our sin, there is a wage that we must pay. That wage is death, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. But because of that wage that we must pay, God sent his son down on the cross to die for our sins, to pay that sin debt for us, to provide an opportunity for eternal life. So tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Open up the scriptures and show you from verse how you can know Christ personally and how to enter into a relationship with him and be on your way to heaven. In a second, we're going to have something that's called an invitation. Invitation is an invitation to let people come forward to these steps here, which is called an altar. But if you'd like to know more about becoming a Christian, come forward. We'd like to have somebody take a Bible, to take you to a room in the back and sit down with you and just explain to you what the Bible says about knowing Christ personally and how to go to heaven when you die. And if you already know Christ, boy, we have so much to be thankful for. That word Emmanuel, God with us, reminds me, God sure does love me. I don't have to be afraid. Sometimes, once again, there he says, fear not to Joseph. Joseph wasn't getting ready to die. Joseph had some bad things going on. He says, don't worry about it. We got this. And then same thing with Mary. Same thing with the shepherds. Same thing with Zacharias. The circumstances in our life, yes, we should fear the Lord, which means we don't have to fear anything else. We have an amazement of God and what he's done. And because of what he's done, we can serve him. We don't have to be afraid. We just do what's right. And because he is with us, we can be content. Tonight, do you know he loves you? Do you act like he loves you? Do you love him? Do you spend time with him? If we love him, guess what we're going to want to do? We're going to want to spend time with him. I know you're here on a Christmas Eve service night, and I'm thankful for that, but we're going to want to spend time with him if we love him. Are we afraid? Do we act like we're afraid? So that's another thought there, is if Emmanuel reminds me, I don't have to be afraid. And Emmanuel reminds me, I can be content. In a season where there isn't much contentment, I can be content because God has promised me, I am never going to leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.